Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or as always, you could head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast. And please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with author and social media personality Denise McAllister. But first off, let me go to Rob. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Actually, I'm doing more than good. I'm doing great. But I don't know if I should be doing great. With everything that's taken place in our world today, definitely in the United States of America, the country that I was born in, I know no other country, but for some reason, my country seems foreign to me, being a Black man. Now, I'm not alone because, Andrew, you're not that far behind. They don't like you. They being our country, they see you as being toxic. You are a toxic white man. What is your problem? What is the problem with you, Andrew? Can't you just get along with everybody? I mean, I try to, but for some reason, me being a man, they don't like it. They don't like white men. They don't like Black men. But of course, like I said, Andrew, you're at the top of the list. So what is your defense? What is your defense, man? Why? What are you doing wrong?
Yeah, it's just obviously the trend here in America right now that the white man can do no right. You see it in Hollywood every single day when you look at the commercials. White people are being totally excluded for the LGBT community and just about any minority. I don't know how any white people are getting work and entertainment or any of the mainstream media publications we see today.
Yeah, it's crazy. And if you are a man, don't get me wrong, and if you guys want to send me hate emails or what have you, I welcome them because I'd rather have some emails without, as opposed to no emails. But if you are out there, and if you don't have like a little angle to who you are, like if I'm a Black man, I got to be a Black gay man, or I got to be a Black man who's a transgender or a cisgender or pansexual, all these other, you know, 5,600 million genders. You know, that's the only way they'll accept me. The same for you, buddy. So don't be laughing. It's the same for you. I mean, if you're not, what do they call it? Some type of exotic type of male, they don't like you. So we have on our show Denise McAllister, and she caught my attention. I was watching TV one day and she came on, and it was a tweet that she had tweeted that I thought, wow, did she tweet that? I mean, I had 75,000 followers on Twitter and they kicked my ass off. They kicked you off also, Andrew. I don't know if they kicked us off because we're men, straight men. I don't know. But anyway, she tweeted this. I'm going to read it. She says, "Dear white straight Christian men, you are being systematically erased. This is the only beginning, but it's happening. Even on TV now, you're not allowed to be seen unless accompanied by a gay or Black person, particularly a Black woman. It's insidious. It's real. Be aware." This tweet came out April 21st, 2021. Can you believe that, Andrew? You're a straight white Christian man. Oh, but you know, you're on with me. So I guess it's okay. I'm straight, but I'm not a Black woman. So I think the politically correct police are going to come after you at some point. But that's powerful. I don't know what you think about it, but that's a powerful tweet. And it says a lot as to where our society is today. And it's really unfortunate. So like I said, I reached out to Denise and I said, "Hey, could you come on the show?" And she responded. And lo and behold, we have Denise. Denise, how is it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. So Denise, what made you decide to tweet this? It's a powerful tweet.
Well, just making an observation about what's going on in our society today. And a lot of propagandizing goes on through popular culture, entertainment, music, television, advertising. And it's kind of where these seeds are sown for messaging, for legitimacy of individuals and groups, for who has moral authority in society. And, you know, we definitely have this attack on masculinity that's going on, that's been going on for years since the sexual revolution and the rise of feminism. We all know this. There's definitely an increase in the attacks against white culture, white people, with the rise of BLM, Black Lives Matter, which is not really about Black people at all. It's about Black power. And, you know, and there's kind of this hierarchy of who really has a legitimate voice in our culture today. And men are definitely not at the top of having any kind of legitimacy to have a voice. You know, whites are not any longer. Black women, I guess Black gay women are kind of at the top of having the most legitimate voice, if you want to put it that way. And you see this being, you know, inculcated and presented through pop culture in order to just massage the minds of people to start thinking in terms of that men and white men is particularly don't have any kind of authority or moral authority or legitimacy in this culture. And this is being done on purpose. It's a Marxist kind of move. And I know people don't like that word, but I mean cultural Marxist. And it's actually dangerous because it causes division and strife and conflict within the culture and breeds animosity rather than peace and cooperation. And I just wanted to make people aware of that. You know, there is a cultural war that's stepped up in our culture today in the United States that's pitting groups against each other. And the big target right now is definitely white, straight men. And if you happen to be a Christian, that's also bad because Christianity itself is being targeted. And we just see this. And I like to call out things as I see them. I do it and I get backlash. I get punished for it. I don't do it without any kind of backlash. But I'm going to do it anyway because it needs to be said, because it's dangerous.
Right. And you've got to be true to yourself. So I just want to look at my my little checklist here. And I'm going to ask Andrew a couple of questions. Andrew, are you white?
Yes.
Are you a male?
Yes.
Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Andrew, we don't like you. Did you know that? We don't like you. Society does not like you. And I like what Denise said when she gave the origin of this as beginning with the feminist movement. So from way back when up until now, 2021, men have been under attack. And now they see an opening and they are pushing through that opening. And I saw it not too long ago. It was on display when Maxine Waters, a congressman from California, and I know some of you are probably saying, why is he always attacking Maxine? I'm not attacking Maxine. Maxine just gives me stuff to talk about. Maxine Waters and Val Demings, not too long ago, they were in a session of Congress, a House, whatever. And they were attacking Jim Jordan. He was asking a question. And their approach was so belligerent, nasty, condescending, as if though he was a child. But they felt as if though they had the power, they felt entitled, and they did it. Now imagine two scenarios. Had he pushed back and said, excuse me, you shut your mouth. Can you imagine the backlash? Or imagine had the tables been turned and it were two white men talking to a Black woman. How did we get here? Now, as Denise said, it started with the feminist movement, but it has taken on the power that they've managed to grab and push this through is unbelievable. I would think that I'm living, you know, 1940s in Nazi Germany, but yet, and people see this and they're saying absolutely nothing. So Denise, you mentioned that you see it, you're going to call it out, even if there's backlash. Have you encountered any backlash for speaking the truth?
Oh, indeed. I lost my entire career of 30 years for speaking out and actually delegitimizing and calling out a sacred cow in the culture today, in the identity politics culture. And I was fired from all of my writing jobs by conservative media because they didn't want to be associated with someone who's been labeled. I was labeled a homophobe because I criticized a gay man. And, I was already being attacked prior to that because I did a lot of writing about white guilt and not owning white guilt and not playing for the identity politics wars that's going on between the races. I was a target by Media Matters and others for a long time for that. And also for my anti-feminism stance and my defense of men. I've always been on the wrong side of the culture war, but you know, I have to do this. I have attacked and I'm daily attacked. I've had my life threatened. I've had to call the FBI and have investigations done with people on YouTube who threatened my life. I've had this several times. So it's a very real risk. You lose your jobs. You could lose your welfare. You could lose your life. It causes conflicts within families. It causes conflicts at church because it's just easier to stay quiet because you are going against this behemoth, you know, this juggernaut of society that is now in a game of power. And then this has actually started before even the sexual revolution. It has its roots in this kind of cultural Marxist mindset about equality and egalitarianism that makes everyone the same. And if you can't be the same, if you don't have equal outcomes in every area, then someone's doing something to you. The idea of individual personal responsibility has been replaced by individual entitlement. So, you know, if I don't have everything that you have, it's your fault that I don't have what you have. Therefore, I'm going to take you down and delegitimize you and say that you've been playing the game wrong, that you have had too much power for too long. And so I need to delegitimize you in the eyes of society so that I can be elevated with more authority in order to tear down everything that you have built so that I can take it. And this is the essence of what we have. And you see it everywhere. You see it in politics. You see it in economics. You see it in pop culture. People no longer are respected just for who they are in their character or what they do and what they bring to the table. They're judged by a group, whether you're white, black, straight, gay, male, female, and then you're categorized. And if you push against the cultural Marxist messaging, you're labeled. And you're labeled, you know, a misogynist or a sexist or a homophobe or a bigot. And once the label is put to you, you're stigmatized and your voice is silenced. You no longer have any power within the culture to speak. This is a very dangerous thing to do to groups of people. It's dangerous to do to an individual, but when you start doing to whole groups, it really is Stalinist. It's Leninist. It's you know, all these ways that whole groups are delegitimized in order to silence and so that another group can be elevated purely by power, not by any kind of merit.
Yeah, since January 6th, we've seen over 900 homes be raided, over 2,000 cell phones confiscated. And just last week, we saw Nick Fuentes put on the no-fly list. How concerning is this to you, Denise, as an outspoken conservative woman, what we've seen happen in the early stages of the Biden administration?
It's very disturbing because, you know, it started with you couldn't hold certain jobs. I mean, if you are part of a company or an organization and you speak out against any kind of, sacred group today or anything that they're doing, then you can lose your job. It started with that. And now politically, no fly list. If you're categorized as a racist or some kind of hostile to what's going on in the culture, this is, I always say to people, you know, it's lose your job today, lose your freedom tomorrow, lose your life the next day. This is the progression of this kind of labeling and stigmatizing and silencing of people because it ultimately dehumanizes them. It ultimately devalues them. They're not seen as a fully integrated human being any longer. They're just a racist or they're a cockroach. You know, they're a rat. And these are the kinds of people that you can eradicate either virtually, professionally, or physically. Everyone needs to be concerned. I'm not being hyperbolic. This is history. I can quote history about this. This is the way of humanity when they're using power and pitting groups against another. So this isn't any kind of scare you kind of tactic. It's just reality, and it's something we need to wake up to. Often do anti-feminist tweets. And that's what, I've written about. It's what I'm known for. I've written about it for decades, warning people that this kind of stuff was coming to the point where we won't be able to fight against it because we will lose everything. So I was trying to warn people for decades to be aware of the labeling that's going on and not kind of fall for it in the name of equality and fairness and love. So anyway, I do anti-feminist tweets because that was my focus. And I would often praise my husband or talk about my husband's male space and respecting it. And I just my followers on Twitter knew this, and I would often make jokes that were funny about it. And I did a tweet one day that said, my husband's watching the basketball game. I interrupted him. Oops, I shouldn't have done that. It was at the end of the game. I guess I'll go get him a beer. Just kind of just to make the feminist mad that I would honor my husband on that. I interrupted during a critical moment of a UNC basketball game.
Interfere with the game.
Don't interfere with the game, woman. Leave. So I It's just, and I laughed about it because I'm like, you know, don't women, first, my point in that was, you know, men have their space, let them have it. You don't need to be invading it all the time. You know, let the dudes be dudes and let them have their time. And you don't need to, and respect it. You don't have to invade it. I got deluged by first with a feminist, you know, saying that how dare he talk to a woman that way? How dare you honor that? You know, then I was deluged by the gay community. That had actually started earlier in the week because I'd had a fight with Meghan McCain on Twitter. And she has a whole huge gay cabal that supports her. And they had already been mad at me because I went after Meghan. And so they were like, oh, Denise, you're being abused by your husband. Your husband is, you know, you don't even know you're being abused. And then it turned into you like being abused. And then it turned into mocking my heterosexual marriage and mocking my marriage and sex positions and all this. I mean, it was like a day of just deluge about heterosexual marriage.
Wait, Denise, let me just jump in there. She said that you like being abused. Wait, maybe some people like rough sex. What's the big deal? What you do in the private bedroom, that's your business. So what is McCain's problem? I mean, is she all like uptight? I just have to throw that in there. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that was a whole different story. But yeah, it was just but Yasher Ali, who is a gay writer for The New Yorker, is a liberal. He's well known for being on social media and kind of targeting conservatives to get them thrown off, to get them canceled. He's big into doing that. And he started leading this mob against me. And anyone who's on Twitter knows how blue checks can lead mobs, retweeting and commenting to other people and getting them all fired up. So he was leading this mob kind of like, oh, Denise, you know, you're obviously abused. You don't even know it. And then I started getting threats that the police were going to be called because my husband was committing to, you know, was engaged in domestic violence.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was, and this is after I have already had my life threatened, you know, in the past and had to actually get the police involved. I actually had to move from where I used to live because my life was being threatened.
This is insane.
So, no, this is just what it's like to be. And I mean, whether it's, you know, me, Candace Owens, or anyone else, you know, who's out there, who's speaking kind of against culture, you get your life threatened and you have to take these things seriously. And so I was getting a lot of this, threats against my husband, you know, falsely accusing him of a crime. And remember, this is all from a tweet of a joke about me not interrupting him in a basketball game. So Yasher Ali starts pushing these tweets forward and like I said, mocking. So I kind of just mocked him back, making fun of his homosexual relationship. And I'm like, you know, making jokes about it. They weren't very nice and very pristine. I'm going to be honest about that. They were pretty crude, but we were going back and forth on that, as you do on social media. It was a Twitter fight at that point. And then he was like, some other people were again saying I was abused. And he kind of followed up on that by saying, oh, Denise, you know, this very condescending, you know that you're being abused. And I just responded and basically just said, you don't know what your meaning and purpose is as a human male individual sexual being. Instead, you're trying to find meaning in gay sex. And I said it real nastily. And I would say what I said, but I don't know if I can do it on your show, but it was pretty wrong. I actually described male same sex for what it was.
Well, you know, Denise, this is an after dark show, you know, where we cover adult topics and adult things. So go ahead.
Okay. I just said, you know, you don't really aren't living by your true. You're criticizing me in a marriage, a straight marriage that's honoring to God. And here you are criticizing it and mocking it where I'm trying to respect my husband. You don't really know what your purpose is as far as that sexual relationship. Instead, you're trying to find meaning up another man's asshole. And so that's what I said. Mm-hmm. To make it clear, I was not. And then I immediately was fired by Ben Shapiro. I was fired by The Federalist. And then I was fired by PJ Media. I was uninvited from a America Defending Liberty, ADF, America Defending Freedom Conference, which ironically, the conference where I was supposed to be at was on religious liberty. So I was disinvited from that. And I was banned from Fox News because I used to go on there as a guest commentator. I was banned. Pretty much everyone I worked with and all paying jobs I had were canceled. And the only thing that was not canceled, my publisher, I was in the middle of writing a book and I had a publishing contract. my book was going to come out a year later, and they did not cancel me. They said, okay, we'll stick by you. You're a provocative, controversial writer. We hired you. We got your contract for that. We shouldn't be surprised when you're controversial. So we'll keep you going. But I was completely canceled by everyone, lost all my jobs, and I haven't been hired since by anyone. So that was the response. And the reason I was fired was not because I said something inappropriate as far as bad manners. Now Ben Shapiro crowd are trying to backtrack and saying, no, Denise, we fired you because you were mean. We fired you because you were being an asshole. And I'm like, no, you didn't fire me for that. Everyone who's a political commentator, from Tucker Carlson to all the rest of them, especially on social media, been dominant at the Federalist particularly, are not very nice on media. If I had said to Bill Clinton, hey, Bill, you aren't really acting the way you're supposed to be as a male sexual individual designed by God. Instead, you're trying to find meaning in a blue dress. Everyone would have laughed. Conservative media would have applauded. The fact is I had attacked and delegitimized a homosexual relationship and a homosexual identity. And I described the sex they have in detail and delegitimized it. That's why I was fired. It had nothing to do with me being my language. So, that's what happened to me. And it was in the midst again of me getting angry about my husband being falsely accused for domestic abuse because I had respected his male space.
Yeah, the left bullying people and trying to get people canceled on social media is a real thing. I remember one time I had an interaction with Jemele Hill, and all of a sudden I had just thousands of people calling me a racist because I had the gall to say something to Jemele Hill. And it's just a real shame that you see conservatives like Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro, who won't stand up for a fellow conservative, and they just pile on and basically cancel Denise themselves.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, that's another, I don't know if you know about the latest situation with Sam Johnson. Do you know about that? It's the CEO, former CEO of Visuel, this kind of medical company.
Oh yeah. I've heard about him. Let me just, before you start explaining it, this was your tweet. Sam Johnson didn't get fired for mocking a teenager. Teens have been corrected and even mocked by adults for their foolishness throughout history. He was fired for mocking LGBT. That's why that's the truth. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So this man, was at a prom. I guess his kids were there, and he saw this couple there, two guys, and one of them was decked out in this dress. And he just went up to him and was like, man, just this is ridiculous. Why are you doing this? This is just wrong. Like I said, in the past, say 40 years ago, that would have been uncommon. If you were a guy and you showed up in a dress, you'd have a teacher probably yank you out of the gym and say, go home and change. Stop it. This is nonsense. And, you would have fellow adults within the community confronting, young behavior as being ridiculous. It was a common thing that we used to, when we respected our elders and respected the community. So this guy went up to him, and what people are leaving out when they talk about this is how the gay guys responded. I mean, it was one F-bomb after another, yelling at him, harassing him in response to his criticism of them. And they got it all on video. And of course, what the LGBT mob does is they create an even bigger mob. And that's what came after me. You cannot understand unless you've experienced what it's like to be the target of a social media mob. It's rather frightening, and it's real, and it's disturbing, and they do it on purpose. So they posted this on social media. Purposely, they said it. We want to get him fired from his position, from whatever he's doing. We want to expose him and target him and ruin him. And they did. The business where he was a CEO fired him. And the statement they made was because of intolerance, that they will not tolerate intolerance by anyone in their company. And they fired this man, ruined his career. And he probably won't be able to get a good job again because of this. This is the most recent one. And I haven't really seen a whole lot of conservatives come out and defend him. And certainly if anyone who fired me came out and defended him, they would be completely contradictory, because it was pretty much a similar situation to mine. And so that's what's happened to him. And so it's getting to the point where if you criticize, if you have your own opinion, if you even make fun of, which we do, Christians are made fun of all the time. Men are made fun of all the time. You have whole marches out there against men, but that's allowed. But you cannot criticize a woman, you know, a Black woman, or, you know, or an LGBT person, and, you know, without dire consequences. This is what's going on in our culture today.
And it's really unfortunate that it's happening in our culture, and there's no one out there that will stand up and push back. And as we both said, you can make fun of men all day long. You can make fun of Christians all day long, and no one will say anything.
Oh, and you can make fun of Black men who are conservative. I mean,
absolutely. Maxine Waters. She says, a Black man, I don't like you anymore. Now, if you're a Don Lemon, they love you. But if you're not, there was a commentator who once said that if you look at CNN, unless you are a gay Black man, you're going to have a very difficult time coming on. Now, I know they have Van Jones. I have nothing against gays, nothing at all. But don't try to take away my space and my voice.
Well, none of us have anything personally against anyone. It's about what the ideology and the false identities that with rights attached to them that's being advanced by the left in order to tear down the structures of our society that are actually rooted in equality and liberty. This is what's happening. You know, they want to malign our entire system of liberty and freedom as founded in order to erect a different system that they believe is more egalitarian. This is progressivism. So they're using labeling and stigmatizing of anyone who does not comply with the switch of power structures in order to silence them and get them out of the way. So, you know, if you're a Black man who's conservative, you better shut up. You're an embarrassment and you need to just go away. If you're, another group that's completely maligned is anyone who used to be gay and who has said, I've repented of that and I'm now straight. They're attacked viciously and maligned.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are not allowed to speak at all. So, you know, if you're a woman who defends masculinity, you're a self-loathing misogynist and you need to shut up. I mean, that's what was the initial attack on me, you know, was my defense of masculinity. And then it morphed into this mob by LGBT. So we need to be aware that this is going on and understand that a lot of people in political media and in politics and politicians, even though they might be Republican or conservative, if they've either bought into one of these identity groups and wants to honor them as the separate identity that needs, you know, empowerment, they've either bought into that or they're too afraid to speak out about it because they're too wealthy and have too much status and don't want to lose their fame and glory and celebrity, Ben Shapiro. So if they're that kind of person, they're going to malign you. They're going to disassociate from you. They're going to cancel you in order to save their own financial skin. So, you know, we need to be aware about who our allies are, who are the real people who are really standing up to fight this across the board, not just, I'll fight against the people labeling you racist, but I'm not going to defend you if you're labeled a homophobe. Or, you know, I really don't like the racist thing, but you better really honor feminism and join all the pussy hats when they're on parade. So, no, you have to understand across the board what's going on and fight it all, because it's undermining liberty in the name of equality of outcomes.
Yeah, we are here with co-author of Spygate, The Attempted Sabotage of Donald Trump, and author of What Men Want to Say to Women But Can't, Denise McAllister. And you are tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be right back with more from our guest, Denise McAllister.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Live and incredible years, and we're just getting started. Well, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, it also flies by when you're on a mission of love. Love of country, that is. Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. You can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. AmericaOutloud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
And we are back from our little break with the author, Denise McAllister. And the stories that she's telling us, that she told us in the first segment as to what got her canceled, folks, it's only a matter of time that you're going to find yourself in the same situation and you're going to get canceled. Look at the editor of Teen Vogue. They canceled her before she can even get there on the job because of things that they said or she had tweeted. I got kicked off of Twitter. I don't know why. I mean, I didn't say anything. I went back and I looked at my tweets and I'm like, there are other people out there that are saying more controversial things. What did I do? I'll tell you what. I had a voice and it was beginning to resonate with a lot of people. And although I only had 75,000 followers, people were listening. And there was someone out there who probably said, oh, we got to shut him down, because too many people are paying attention to the truth, and we don't want them to know the truth. You either stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. And if you're not looking, what you thought was your right, and it is your right, they'll take it from you. And there you will be in a little corner trying to figure it out. What the hell happened? Well, they know what happened. They've silenced you. Look at big tech. Big tech is dangerous. Yes, we use big tech. It's a lot of fun. But the power that they have managed to gather for themselves and then to pick and choose who can be heard, who can't be heard. Look at Google. How they're silencing people, kicking people off their platform. They don't want people to do searches on you. I always go to DuckDuckGo. This is unbelievable, and this is happening in America. And what are the politicians doing? Absolutely nothing. They're letting it happen. Now, they'll sit there and talk a big game. Oh, we want to call big tech to the White House or to the Hill, and we want them to testify, and we're going to ask, are you censoring someone? And they'll say, no, we're not. And then we'll move on. That's not good enough. I'm sorry. Now, I know Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, they've been calling them out there, and Josh has been saying, hey, we've got to stop them, but more should be done. More should be done. There is no way, no reason why these companies should have that much power. And they're controlling things. And we're sitting back thinking that it's funny. Well, yeah, the left think it's funny. Oh, well, you're silencing all those crazy right people until it comes to them, when it comes to their back door. China, I talked about China earlier. Don't think for a moment that China isn't benefiting from this. And they're laughing at us. They're laughing at us because we don't know if it's a male or a female. This is absurd. And it's a small minority, that small group that's out there pushing this craziness. It has to stop. And we have got to wake up. And we've got to get out there and push and keep pushing. Now, something, Denise, you also said you were tweeting about, and I thought it was very interesting, this whole concept as to the make of the world and who we should vote for, who we shouldn't vote for. And, you know, like you said, a lot of people right now, they're going behind black women, the vagina voters, you know, and the pussy hat cap wearers and all that other stuff. It's crazy. But what you're saying is that I'm not voting for someone because of their vagina. I'm voting for someone because they're the best person for the job. And I agree with you 100%. Talk to us about that, because it seems as though that's your book, what men want to say to women, but they can't. Where did that come from? Where was that? What was the thought process behind it? I think it came out in February 2020. Denise.
Because I am on social media a lot, it's the one place I haven't been canceled. And I think that's only because my original canceling was on Twitter, and Twitter saw that I was massively canceled across all platforms. So they just kind of let me be because I've been delegitimized. So I think they're like, oh, no one's listening to her anyway. So we just let her keep going. And until I, you know, am either complained about by the quote unquote right person, or I get onto a platform or something and I say something that really offends Blake, you know, a huge crowd, then I'll get canceled. I'll get kicked off Twitter. But what happened was I used to, like I said, do a lot of anti-feminist tweets and in really speaking out for masculinity, calling out feminism for the lies that it has perpetrated on the American psyche for decades. So I, you know, tweet about that and call women out and call feminism out, you know, for its egalitarianism, its cry for equality. What they really want is not equality. They want equality of outcomes. They want equality of outcomes because when they actually have equality and are in a position to compete with men as a group, statistically, they fail. They don't have the same outcomes as men for all kinds of reasons, mainly because women make different choices than men. So I call out their inconsistency, their hypocrisy, their lies, their manipulations, their cattiness, and all the rest of it. And whenever I would do this, I would get direct messages from men behind the scenes. Oh, thank you. Thank you for saying that because we can't, you know. And what they mean by can, it doesn't mean that they can't actually say it. They can, but they'll get backlash like you wouldn't believe, and they're at risk. You know, like I can say something to women that a man can't, you know, and, you know, so like, for example, hey, if you want equality, equal pay and work, you know, in business, you better darn well be doing equal work, and you're not. So, you know, quit whining about it. So when you can act like a man, do the dirty jobs that a man does, do everything that a man does, put the, you know, 10-hour commitment that a man does instead of raising babies and all the rest of the other really good choices that women make, you know, stop your whining about equal pay. So things like that, you know, men would, you know, get into, you know, come to me and say, well, thank you for saying that and sticking up for masculinity. So I wrote a book, you know, kind of based on that, you know, all the things that men want to say to women, which is basically a book about all the lies that women, that feminism has put onto America. And it was born of that because there are so many lies that are manipulating the psyche of America about who men are, about the mystical patriarchy that's keeping women down, and, you know, all this kind of stuff that has really caused a lot of division and brokenness in relationships, from marriage, from sex lives, to you know, to workplaces, to the military, where women pretend that they can be and perform just like men can on the front lines, which is a joke. Women are not superheroes like they are in the movies. You know, you're weak. You can't even begin to be on the same equal footing as a man physically in that way. These kinds of things need to be said and they need to be fought. But unfortunately, you know, you were talking about big tech and wanting politicians to do more. And there are some things that politicians and policy can do, but when you have an entire wellspring of culture supporting what big tech is doing, supporting what liberal politicians are doing, the fact that we even had a close election where Biden won, quote unquote, you know, is horrifying because of what they stand for. And Kamala Harris is a joke. So, you know, these kind of things show that the American culture is broken. And the American worldview and ideology that really sustained our principles of liberty are broken. And unless those are fixed, unless hearts are changed and minds are changed at a fundamental level, politics is really impotent to make changes.
I agree. No, just going back to, you know, like you said, the male women and the roles and whatnot, I've often said, and I said this to one of our guests, with women wanting, you know, equal groundings as a man, we've just got to accept the fact that there is a difference between male and females. Men can do some things, women can't. There are some things they can do similarly. But if you want to keep pushing this, then when it's time to register for the draft, I want women to go and register for that also. When I was 16 years old, I had to do it. So why aren't 16-year-old girls doing the same thing? If you want everything to be equal. Now, if you mention that, it's like, oh, we can't do that. I can't do that. And then something else, as far as husband and wives, why is it that the women on the right, I'm sorry, the left, maybe some on the right, they freak out when they say, well, when women say, I want to be my husband's wife. I want to listen to him. I want him to be the head of the household. Women on the left go ballistic. Oh my God, I don't believe this. How dare you say that? What is wrong with that? What is wrong with allowing the husband to be the head of the household?
Because it goes against the entire messaging that's being has been developed and formulated by the left about the patriarchy. The whole goal here is it's not personal, it's political, it's cultural, it's a social movement in order to delegitimize and remove the authority structures that have built America, built a free society. And so if you are here as a woman saying, no, I want my husband to be head of my house, you are, as a woman, legitimizing male authority. That cannot be tolerated in a society that is wanting to delegitimize male authority. It can't be tolerated anywhere. It needs to be silenced. It needs to be rewritten. It needs to be erased. It needs to be, you know, removed from any kind of public discourse and any kind of belief system. It needs to be removed from the minds of children that we're raising. And so that's an anathema to the feminist movement today and its goal to tear down the authority structures that were built by men. Structures, by the way, that have given us freedom, that has given us true equality before the law. These are things that the Marxist struggle hates because it's about egalitarianism for them and ultimately about the power of the elite.
Right. And you look at the sports, look at the whole thing with what we have going on with sports now and letting transgenders participate in sports. No, you don't have that, the reverse with women wanting to. No, there are some women who want to play football. Yeah. But when you look at girls' sports, transgenders wanting to run track, wanting to play ball. Like, why? Why are we allowing this? Why is society sitting back and saying, oh, well, let's let them do it. You know, they can figure it out later on. That's not fair. And women, you would think the now National Organization for Women would be out speaking against it. Women have fought so hard to get to their place in society. Sports Illustrated, swimsuit issue. They now, we're going to have a transgender in what? A transgender in Sports Illustrated? Oh, because all my life I wanted to be on it. But what about the female who's actually a female, born a female, who wanted to be on it also? Look at the different contests we have now. We now have transgenders competing in that. I mean, when Caitlyn Jenner won these back in, I think it was 2010 or 11 or something, she won the EPSI Award in sports. And I thought, and so many people were like, oh, hooray, hooray, congratulations. And I just thought about it. I'm like, no, wait a minute. There are probably women out there that were just as entitled and had done something similar. But they overlooked those women and decided to put Caitlyn Jenner, also known as Bruce Jenner, give him the award. And all around us in society, we see this is happening. It's like the dumbing down of America. We're told to believe you can be anything you want. So when Donzel, the white woman who said she was black, when she came out and said, oh, I'm a black woman, I'm like, let her be a black woman. Why not? We're changing everything else. We're telling men, you can have a baby. That is the most stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. A man cannot have a baby. But they're telling us they can. I remember reading somewhere else, they were saying, oh, well, boys can have a period. No, this is really sad because that took me for a loop when I first read that. I'm like, what? I'm an adult. And I'm like, did I miss something? Did my parents not tell me something about boys having periods? Only to find out what they were saying is that if you're in the process of changing and you're wanting to go from a girl to a male, you're going to probably still have your periods, and that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's wrong and it's crazy.
Yeah, everything is so backwards from the left right now. Not only is the Sports Illustrated doing the transgender issues, I remember, I believe last year they did an issue where they had an obese girl on the cover and they said, obesity is healthy, just completely ignoring the science, which they always like to cite and whatnot for the feminist agenda.
Look at Lizzo, the big, you know, two-ton singer, rapper, whatever she is, and she's wearing a thong. And the other day, she did some syrup spread for Instagram and her naked butt is all over the place. And she's saying, I'm beautiful. Well, yeah, you are beautiful, but you're also unhealthy. But society is telling us that this is okay. Accept this. Don't fight it. And if you say anything about it, as Denise has done, they're going to cut you down. They're going to silence you because they don't want your voices out there. And for conservatives to go along with this and to placate this and then to say, oh, I'm a conservative. Like, are you serious? Are you serious? This should not be happening. Conservatives have given up so much ground to this whole culture thing because we're afraid. We're afraid we might be canceled. We're afraid that they might come against us or they might come after us. Well, look, they're going to come after you anyway. And what you have to do is to stand up and not be afraid. What are you afraid of? Why are we allowing them? Why are we conceding so much ground to them? And then we just sit there and just like, look, I mean, Denise, what are your thoughts on that? Why do you think conservatives are so afraid to stand up and to push back and just acquiesce to everything that's happening? And then we pretend as if though we're fighting, but we're not.
I think there's a lot of background, a lot of history that goes into why we're at this point that has brought us to the point of fear. The reason why we're having all of these conflicts of, you know, the feminist against the trans, you know, and women in sports and men pretending to be women in sports, and what do they do about it? What groups are fighting against what groups? And how is all this chaos suddenly accepted as the norm? And the reason for it is that for decades, we have given up the understanding of human identity and of the self as being objectively designed by God for a purpose that rooted in nature, rooted in reality, rooted in objective truths. And we are now the modern self, our identity of who we are as individuals is rooted in our own subjective perceptions and psychologies and feelings. So my identity, your identity, anyone's identity is whatever you want it to be. It's called expressive individualism, and it's what defines human identity today. Human identity is no longer rooted in any kind of objective truths. It's all about whatever I feel, whatever I express, whatever my psychology is, whatever you know, I perceive about myself, my body, my sexuality, my sexual organs, you know, whatever I want to do, whatever I want to be. If I think I can fight like a man on the front lines, well, damn well, I can fight like a man on the front lines because that's what I believe about myself. That's my feelings. And I have every damn right to express it. And you damn well better accept it and recognize it.
Yep.
If I think I'm a woman, even though I have a penis, you damn well better accept it because that's how I perceive myself. This is where we've gotten to. And the problem is that Christians and conservatives and libertarians and other people on the right who think they're super rational and who think they have themselves rooted in objective reality have actually played into and been a part of this culture of expressive individualism. They've really bought into whatever you feel, little Johnny, you can express. Whatever my child wants in my helicopter parenting ways, he needs to express. You need to honor and recognize whatever anyone feels. If you think you're beautiful, even though you're ugly as sin, you can think that. You know, whatever, because we don't want to hurt your feels. Right. We have, you know, we have a therapeutic mindset about identity, about social relations, and about human nature itself, you know, and anything that might offend the little psyche in our own little brains and our own little self-perceptions and our own little self-idolatry, anything that might challenge that is seen as offensive. And you're keeping me down. You're ruining me. You're hurting me. You're offending me. You're attacking me. You're not letting me be free. And now, because this is what we've built identities around, psychologies and feelings, because a human identity has rights attached to it. If this is your true identity, whatever it is, it's not just a matter of just letting people be whatever they want to be or whatever they want to do. Now it's because it's my identity. Society must recognize it. Society must approve of it. Society must honor it and give it dignity. And by the way, it needs to give me all the rights that are attached to human nature. Even if I think I'm a woman, even though I'm a man, you better recognize that. And I have every right that's involved in that, even if it means playing in girls' sports, even though I'm a guy. So I have that right because that's my identity. The problem is now conservatives are like, whoa, that's not right. You know, or even like leftist radical feminists are like, whoa, that's not right. They've already created a culture of building an identity around feelings. Once you've done that, once you've crossed the Rubicon of identity and moved from objectivity, objective reality to subjectivism, you have lost the war. You've lost the culture. You've lost the argument. You've lost sanity. And that's where we are right now. So anyone who's ever, who realized what's going on, who have been fighting what's going on or even stand up to it, are treated like aliens. You know, you're insane. You have a phobia. You need to be silenced. You're dangerous because you're pushing against the tyranny of subjectivism that reigns about human identity today. And you can't have that. So now because the threats of being talked about, you know, to even voicing this is met with threats, job loss, one day imprisonment may even come. You know, there is fear, and the fear is real. So we've moved way past the opportunity when we used to have it to have these debates. And we were, some of us back in the 80s and 90s were warning people about what's coming. Don't create these new identities around feelings. Expressive individualism is not what our identity is. You know, now that we've accepted that premise, now we have fear, because to speak out against it now is not a debate. To speak out about it now is dangerous.
Very dangerous, because they will come and they will cart you off. And that's coming. I do fear that that's coming at some point. They will try and go and, okay, you're talking this, you're thinking this. We've got to isolate you from the population. I think, Andrew, you were telling me that you saw somewhere in statistics or some numbers that people on the right were being illegally or legally searched and looked at for things that they're saying or doing. And this is the United States of America, and no one is pushing back. It's like, it's acceptable. Whereas when people on the left look at John Kerry and what he has done with Iran leaking information, oh, no big deal. The media isn't even covering it. It's as if though it never happened. Look at Hunter Biden and his whole fiasco. It's as if though it never happened. Joe Biden openly said, hey, I told them to fire the son of a bitch. Oh, no big deal. It didn't happen. Nothing to see here. Look the other way. So now, and I like what you said about identity around feelings. And I'm entitled to all those rights because I feel that I'm this way. And if you don't like it, shame on you. I'm going to get rid of you. I mean, I gave the scenario the other day about someone just, you know, waking up and deciding, okay, I'm going to be a woman today. And I'm going to put on a dress, and I dare anyone to question me about it. Actually, a good friend of mine saw what was happening. He was so fed up, and he said, you know, I am going to wake up tomorrow. I am going to put on my wife's dress. I'm going into the office. And if anyone questions me, I am going to take them to HR. He said, because I am tired. I am fed up of seeing all these different identities, all these different people identifying with all these different sexes. They're pushed forward. They get all the advances on the job, and I get absolutely nothing. Why? Because I'm not exotic. I'm just a simple male, and that doesn't count because I'm a male and I'm toxic, and they don't like me. I got to tell you guys, I'm a Black man. I enjoy my penis. I don't want to cut it off. I want it to stay there, and I would hope all other men would feel the same way. But society is punishing us because you were born with that. You are toxic. We don't like you. We're going to suppress you. We're going to put you down. Andrew, you're white. I'm sorry, buddy. Hey, they don't like you either. As I said at the beginning of the first segment, because you're white and they feel that you have all this power, power I guess you didn't even know that you have. You know, you could be a king, Andrew. No one ever told you. You might want to ask your parents if, in fact, you are a king, because the way they see you, you are a king who has to be taken down and throttled and just done away with. Why? Because you're white and you're a male. Because I am Black and I am a male. And right now, if you're not exotic, if you're not a Black female who shares all those crazy leftist ideas, they don't want to hear from you. They don't want to see you. They want to silence you. And it's really unfortunate that that's where we are in society. And no one is saying anything about it. When I say no one, people on the right. Now, we're talking about it. We're trying to make it known. Hey, I was on Twitter. Like I said, I got kicked off. Andrew, you got kicked off. I'm glad that you're still there, Denise, still speaking your truth. But this has to stop. And as you said, that it has been happening for quite some time. And I would say, and I've always said this, that when Barack Obama became the president, I mean, it was as if though someone just put the feet on the pedal, revved it up, gave it a lot of gas, and man, it started going, that engine started going, and there is no turning back. There is no turning back. And now that we have Sleepy Joe, Uncle Joe, Crazy Joe in the White House, hey, it's full throttle. They're going ahead with their crazy agenda, and everyone else be damned. Denise, how do you think this could stop? Do you think there's hope? Can we stop this from going down south and go up north? How do we stop it?
I don't think it can be stopped politically. So while we should definitely be involved in politics, and it's a participatory republic still, you know, we still vote, we still have a voice to a degree, somewhat. The answer is only at the cultural and spiritual and relational level until the individual minds and hearts are changed about the sacred order of nature, about society, about what our real responsibility is to each other as human beings made in God's image. Until that happens, and if that happens, some kind of revival about reality and getting back to objective truth and not looking at society as the haves and haves nots and the marginalized against the oppressors, until that stops and we are humbled and realize that we are all mere sinful human beings, all of us, you know, in dependency on God. You know, that's my belief. I have a spiritual outlook on this. You know, unless that happens, unless there's national repentance, starting with individual repentance, people looking in the mirror and saying, no, I've made an idol of myself. I think I can self-create when I've been created. I've rejected God's truth and I've elevated my own. And now I'm at war with everybody else's subjective truth for power. You know, and until we lay down the arms of power and lift up the arms of love, until that happens truly in a truly God-honoring way, our society will be in decline. We will become rooted in chaos. And what comes out of chaos is more tyranny. And then on international relations, however that plays out as far as other nations, you know, in violence in that level, I don't know. But I do know chaos will continue. It will continue to unravel. And that's why we need to be speaking to each other, speaking to people in our lives, making these arguments about what truth is, about human identity, about what human responsibility is, you know, and having these conversations, educating ourselves and understanding what it means to be a human being and not self-created. You know, until we start doing that, that's the real grassroots kind of change that happens. You're not going to have change. It's not going to happen with, oh, we need Tucker Carlson to be our next president, you know, or we need Candace Owens to be our next president because they're fighting, you know, on television. You know, that's not going to change. And you know, I would say even a really great conservative rooted in good law is not going to change the culture. The cultural juggernaut has been unleashed and the change needs to come from there.
Yeah, the Bible teaches us to love our neighbors and not take from our neighbors like so many from the left like to do. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Denise McAllister. Where could they follow you on Twitter at, Denise?
McAllister Den. That's where you can reach me and see whatever I do, produce, or any podcast I'm on.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who just celebrated its fifth anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or just about any other audio app. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.